How you doing, everybody? It's Joshua, back with another wonderful installment of the Final X Legends podcast. This is the Billion Dollars Writer Club. Right now, we have a Mr. Patrick Fellers, who is one of our wonderful creator standouts. He's a writer and is bringing us an amazing tale. Mr. Patrick, how you doing today?
Doing well, Josh. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. So I want to hear about your book. I want to hear about, you know, what genre it is. You know, are you in a horror? Are you in a mystery, romance, erotica, you know, espionage? What is it that you know, are inspiring us and take? What kind of journey are you taking us on?
Well, I do have a couple of sex scenes, but I fall more into the science fiction fantasy genre, more urban fantasy than high fantasy. And the reason why I did that is because when I read other writers' stories, I like to have an escape from reality. Mm-hmm. I went through a couple of dark portions of my life, and that was my escape. That helped me to kind of take a step back from the darkness that was in my life and live vicariously through, you know, the characters of all these stories. So I wanted to make a story that people could do that.
Absolutely.
I didn't want it to take itself too seriously. So it's kind of a fair amount of comedy mixed in with the science fiction and fantasy. And as far as the, you know, sex scenes go, you can blame my proofreaders for that because they told me to expand upon it. And if I destroy the minds of any children that accidentally get a hold of the book, it's not my fault.
No, it's always us grown-ups' fault. But I don't believe there's anything wrong with, you know, having natural sex scenes in a book. So long as, like, personally, the build-up to it was good, or even if the scene itself leads into the building of another thing. But as long as, like, me personally, so long as I understand that the sex scene has to, you know, to me, and move the story. And when I say move the story, you know, if I have a sex scene in my story, it's because I have two characters who are very passionate about each other and loving of one another. And the, you know, the erotic, you know, heat of their kissing, of the bodies rubbing, of and describing everything down to this sweet sensation of a climax, all of that, you know, builds upon the relationships. Or maybe, you know, they had this passion, I have them have a horrible breakup later on. But, you know, I've read books that have, you know, careless sex scenes in it. There's been a sex scene and I've been like, why was that even in there? That was just to you know, get the youngest little rocks off or something. So,
right,
you know,
spice it up a little bit.
Yeah, you know, and I like that your proofreaders did say elaborate on it, because if you have a scene that's intimate and then you is very dull, that can kill your readers, especially, you know, your female readers, you know, with, you know, women are very imaginative, you know, so are men. But when it comes to erotic novels and romance, women are able to go to a whole different playing field than most men. So,
right.
And that's just life, you know. So tell us a bit of...
They call it dirty.
Yeah. So you said this is more of a, you said like espionage type book?
No, it's a science fiction fantasy.
Science fiction.
It takes place on two different worlds. One is a completely fictional world. And I used Norwegian terminology. It's called Eviktensland, which essentially translates to Land of Eternity. Hmm. And that's where all the fae live, elves, gnomes, pixies, nymphs, so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. So the aforementioned sex scenes, they involve a lot of supernatural
aspects.
Creatures, you know, not just humans and whatnot. And my main characters, one is a female elf. Then you have Pyron, who is a half Cherokee Nuanhai and a light elf from Evicten's land. And a Nuanhai is a Cherokee term, and they're kind of like fae in and of themselves. There's lots of stories and mythologies about when the Europeans came to the Americas, how there was a conflict between these Nuanhai and the European fae that came over here. Mm-hmm. Now, Pyron is the culmination or the combination of both of those cultures. And I wanted to represent both of them in as good a fashion as I could, or as close to accurate as far as the folklore went, so that, you know, both sides of the spectrum enjoyed that character a lot.
Absolutely. And I respect the fact that you're over here using, you know, Norwegian terms and a lot of, you know, culture that exists in our natural world and combining it with, you know, mythological beings and whatnot. Like you said science fiction, and then I heard elves and stuff, and then I'm like, oh, this sounds like a cool combination, mix of high fantasy and science fiction, you know, two different worlds. Now, is this, when you say two different worlds, is this like, you know, Earth and then a parallel dimension, or is this two different planets?
So it's Earth. It's a dystopian future after a nuclear war between the major powers, and the ones that started it were North Korea and the United States, and then other nuclear powers just kind of followed suit. So much of the population has been destroyed, and with that, a lot of our technology has gone away too. So a lot of the remaining humans, over the years, they're slowly beginning to believe back in these supernatural creatures, vampires, werewolves, elves, magic, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so when the time that this story starts to take place, you have these elves that are starting to awaken because people are starting to believe in them again.
That's kind of cool.
And that has caused more travel from Evicten's land, which is where it's the home of the Fae. And they start traveling over to Earth more, because as we grew in technology, we stopped to believing in the supernatural more and more and more, or relying more heavily on science.
Mm-hmm.
So in a dystopian Earth, they have now found a new beginning, if you will. And elves and any kind of spiritual being like that, in my head, they can't exist without the belief of humans. So it's not a parallel dimension as such, but they can't exist outside that place without the belief of humanity. So they're inextricably tied to each other regardless.
I do like that in your the laws that you're building in this world, you know, based on, you know, faith and belief. And I like that because there's a story that I wrote a long time ago where in one of, like, characters had abilities. And the only way the abilities, you know, it wasn't like, you know, like who had a higher power level, who were stronger. It was more so who had more belief in their technique. Like if I was someone and I had an ability where if I slash my sword and say flame braver, you know, the attack will come out. The more I believe and have faith and strength and connectivity to that attack, is the stronger it is, you know. So it was, I like that you have this system of these characters, you know, draw their strength and their existence is based off of, you know, belief, which is cool because that could really play on a lot of readers and be like, man, you know, what if this is kind of real? You know, what if the fact that we don't believe, you know, in these creatures to this extent is why they don't exist and whatnot. So that's kind of cool that you're, you know, using that. What, if I may ask, inspired this story?
A lot of things. I have several authors that were majorly influential as far as my writing goes.
Amazing.
I'm a big reader, and I'll make honorable mention of Mark Tufo, Garen Whitehead, Dean Koontz.
Oh my God, I was just about to say Dean Koontz. I literally just pulled up Google on my phone to search Dean Koontz just now. That is weird. That is weird, Mr. Patrick. Get out my head. Stop doing that. Oh my God.
Sherilyn Kenyon, I'll mention her too, because she played heavily on the paranormal romance type.
Oh yeah. I love a lot of Dean Koontz books. Like his formula for writing has, you know, I love how he's able to start a story off and like pick it up immediately. Like within the first like five chapters, the story is already like building up and escalating pretty fast. And I love that even though it feels fast paced, it still feels, you know, you know, it's a gift that the man has to be able to encapsulate,
right,
and make those page turns.
Stephen King are top tier in my
Oh yeah, I just had an interview with a young lady yesterday who's just, she does not like Stephen King. Mm-mm. She got her own personal reasons for that, but it's always nice to hear, you know, other people's, you know, favorite authors and readings and whatnot, because this is what helps people connect with you, you know, the listeners and readers out there who are on the same path as you and the same genre as you, you know. Should, you know, maybe there's somebody out there who's never heard of Dean Koontz, you know, and well, now we're putting them on game with, you know, these other amazing authors and, you know, illustrators of amazing artistic crafts. Like, you know, these guys are able to literally paint pictures in the minds of, you know, everybody around. Have you ever dealt with any writer's block or any, you know, extreme stresses while in the process of, you know, writing and creating?
Well, the only thing that really gets in the way is my normal life. You know, I have a normal job and, you know, I have school that I have to do too. So it's really that gets in the way. And when you try to flip your mind back from creative to logical, that interferes sometimes. So I have to, if I'm working on one project, say for work, I have to take a step back from that for a little bit, a couple hours or maybe a day before I can actually write in my own story again.
Mm.
It's not so much a block of my creativity. It's just getting in the right mindset. I'm an organic writer, so I don't have your typical plot line and, you know, outlining all the characters. I mean, I do character profiles, but I develop my characters kind of on the fly.
Yeah.
You know, as I'm writing the story,
they change.
I see them in my head, and mm-hmm. that's when it kind of spills out of me onto the page.
Absolutely. It happens with me as well. I think I'm a bit of both of organic and, you know, a planned writer where I will, you know, literally jot down what major events I want to happen. You know, like what's this arc? What is this character's arc? You know, I want a, you know, just a skeletal, very, you know, frail skeletal outline of what I want. And I do it lightly because I know that and I actually did this like 2 weeks ago. I sat down and I wrote a chapter, right? And then when I rewrote the chapter, you know, I evolved certain characters as I gave them more detail and more dialogue and more descriptive actions and whatnot, you know. And that's actually my favorite part, is actually to see how the story comes to life as you write it, because you'll have this grand idea, but it's really like making love in a sense, you know. You have this idea of how great the sex is going to be. But then, like, once you get into it and you start hitting and you start getting in the positions and flipping it around and going upside down, you know, it's like, dang, this is a lot more fun than what I thought it was going to be. So it's, you know, you know, that's one of the greater parts I enjoy about writing, you know. I like that advice. You know, it's the second time today I've heard, you know, take a step back. Something that a gentleman that I just interviewed previously, he goes by the name of Mr. James Wesley. He you know, said that when he's working on a project, that he works on multiple projects at the same time. So if he gets stuck on one, he is able to jump off of that, you know, maybe not in the same like 30 minutes or hour, but, you know, give yourself, you know, some time and then go work on that project for a couple days. And then when you deplete the creativity from that to go back to the other project. And I thought that was a brilliant idea, because, and I know it won't work for everyone, but for myself, I believe it would work for me. And you sound like the kind of man with your natural organic state, it may be beneficial for you to have one or two projects going on at the same time. That way, when you do have that moment, you know, being that you're just so organic, you could just jump to another, you know, project. And just something for you to think about in the future. Maybe it'll be overwhelming. Maybe it won't. Who knows?
In a way, I do that. I write short stories and everything for my Facebook page. Not overly often, but I just like to give fans, you know, a little something to read as they're perusing through my page. But I'll work on that, and they all tie into my series. And I don't jump from you know, going to different projects as far as getting out of my series go. But I've also planned for, you know, my third book after this, and then I have a prequel that I'm working on, and then a short story collection. So a lot of the short stories that I put on the page are actually, I'm going to put them all into a book, and eventually I'll have the book up too. But for now, they're just free stories. So yeah, in a way, I do what he does. Sometimes I step away from my main story and then work on just little side gigs, you know. And yeah, you're right. He's right. It kind of centers you a little bit,
You know, because I think what some people do sometimes, they deplete one creative reserve. And then they keep it's like when your car has no gas and they keep trying to like turn that engine. And it's like, you know, they're trying, like, imagine you're in a spot, right? And you got this Jeep Grand Cherokee next to you, or, you know, bump that. We got a Jeep Wrangler. That's what we're doing. We got a Jeep Wrangler, and I'm sitting in my, you know, Chrysler 300, right? And the Chrysler 300 don't got no gas in it, but the Jeep is full. You know, so instead of keep trying to turn that key and force it to move, get out of that vehicle and go in the next vehicle and drive and make progress, you know, with a full tank of gas. Like, that's a weird analogy that I just came up with on the fly. But hey, makes sense.
I get it.
Yep. So at this time, I'd like to ask you, is there any advice, you know, any wisdom that you would have liked to have known when you were starting out, or that you would be willing to share with the rest of us?
That's the thing I can tell any kind of aspiring writer, or even a writer that's maybe having a block of any kind, is really simple. Just start writing. It doesn't matter really what you put on the page. The fact of the matter is, you just want to put something on there. And a lot of times that will jumpstart your engine, like your gasoline metaphor.
Yep.
Just getting that little hint of gas in the tank, sometimes that inspires the car to run just a little bit further to get you to the gas station.
Amen.
And that might be all you need.
Yes, sir.
But the point is, you can't just sit there and stare at the screen. You got to put your fingers on the keys.
Absolutely. And it's something I want to touch on that too, is a lot of people, like, if you can spend, you know, you're in every single one of our days, we text someone or we type something on a computer. If you could do that, and you could do that with 100 or 200 words on your Google Docs, on your phone or your tablet or your, you know, computer or whatnot, you know, even just 100 words is enough to, like you said, kickstart that and get it going, you know?
Yeah, even if you erase those 100 or 200 words that you put on the page, you may have come up with an idea during that writing process that helps you in your story. You know, it might just be a bunch of garbage that you're writing on the page, but that, you know, something just filters out of that creative side of your head.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden it's like, boom, lights are on.
Yep.
And, you know, now you can get back to the story that really matters.
Absolutely. Mr. Patrick, it's been wonderful to talk with you. I love your sci-fi, your mix of fantasy, your mix of lore. I want to get you back on the show in about, you know, 2 to 3 weeks. And I want to, you know, do like a synopsis reading. Maybe a first chapter reading of your story. You know, it sounds very fascinating. I love the two worlds. I love the beliefs. Real quick, could you tell us all where we could find you out online, you know, your websites, your social medias, you know, anything?
Sure. My author handle on Facebook is authorp.n.fellers. And you can find it on walmart.com, barnesandnoble.com. Amazon only has paperback right now, but my publisher is Esquire Publications. And they have ebook format, hardcover, paperback. Barnes & Noble has paperback and hardcover.
Amazing.
You can go to any of those and find it.
Perfect.
My Twitter handle is just like my Facebook handle. You can find links on either one of those.
Mm-hmm.
And
If and something else, make sure after this to go ahead and message me all of these links, because I'm going to leave them in the description of this video for all of you listening that would like to get in touch with Mr. Fellers and, you know, grow together. There are a lot of you out there that may, you know, like fantasy and may like science fiction. And it sounds like this author right here is on the path to building a perfect combination of these worlds. And there may be a lot that you all can build with each other. So, you know, this isn't just for he and myself to sit here and talk. This is also for you guys to hear another wonderful creator that you may be able to, you know, mentor from, you know, somebody that has a lot of, you know, wisdom and teachings to give to everyone. You know, as you can clearly hear, he's a very successful individual. His book is in many places. And, you know, you all should really connect and network and not look at each other as competition and look at as to what you can, you know, learn from one another and how you can benefit this individual and how they can benefit you as well. Everybody can win. So with that being said, that is going to wrap up our show. Mr. Fellers, it was an honor to host you on here. I look forward to having you back on the show. Is there anything else you would love to say to our adoring fans?
No, like I said, I'm willing to learn from anybody, and if anybody wants any kind of advice from me, I'm more than willing to give it. And the pleasure's all been all mine, Mr. Bats, for sure. And I appreciate you having me, and I look forward to you know, future podcasts with you.
Awesome. I really want to see your journey, and we all do. We want to see in 3, 4, 5, 6 months just how much further you've gone, or maybe even in, you know, 3, 4 months you hit a rough patch. And you express that and share that with us. And then, you know, come November, December timeframe, you've bounced back and you've shown us all how to go through that. That's something else we're excited to see. You know, if something happens and you feel, you know, like now is not the time, you know, maybe that is also the perfect time to get on here. We want to know everything. We want to share our ups and downs on here. So, yes, definitely look forward to seeing you on here. Everyone, you all have a beautiful day. Like I always say, make sure to have a good time with your loved ones. Stay safe. Stay blessed. I love you all, and we'll see you soon. Take care. Bye.